Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Americans unfamiliar with Donald Trump's vice presidential pick will get to hear from him tonight at the Republican National Convention. Senator J.D. Vance from Ohio, once anti-Trump, is now in his inner circle. ABC's Jay O'Brien has more.
Some of the things that have not gone over so great in MAGA world, which is the previous comments he made about the former president in 2016, which Vance has long said he's disavowed and that he's squarely behind the former president. Does he mention kind of his shift in thought process as it relates to Trump? That's something that there are convention goers down on that floor who have told me they did notice that Vance did change his tune on Trump.
A source tells ABC News President Biden is seriously weighing proposals to make changes to the Supreme Court, including term limits and enforceable ethics codes. Severe heat expected to peak in the Northeast today, but volatile storms are also on tap from the Mid-Atlantic to New England. And Emmy nominations are out. The Bear earning 23 and Shogun shined with 25 nominations. This is ABC.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Milwaukee's police chief is defending five officers from Columbus, Ohio, who shot and killed a homeless man outside the convention perimeter yesterday. Jeffrey Norman says Samuel Sharp Jr. was threatening another homeless man with a knife.
Someone's life was in danger. These officers, who are not from this area, took upon themselves to act to save someone's life.
Homeless advocates demand an investigation. Wisconsin U.S. Senate candidate Eric Hovde is going after President Biden and Senator Tammy Baldwin on foreign policy, immigration, the high cost of living, and crime.
Biden and Baldwin have failed. President Trump and I will get the job done.
Hovde delivered a primetime speech at the convention last night. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The city of Duluth has received a statewide award for their youth mountain biking program. According to a Northern News Now report, the Minnesota Recreation and Parks Association gave the Duluth Parks and Recreation Team their annual Award of Excellence for the Youth on Trails program, which encourages younger residents to utilize their extensive trail system. Officials say over the last year, the program got over 300 kids out riding bikes on the trails. More information on the program can be found online. The Caravan for Disability Freedom made a stop at Center City Park in Superior on Monday. According to a Northern News Now report, the organization aims to promote inclusivity by informing people with disabilities of the issues the community is facing and helping them register to vote. The caravan is on a tour which began in California this past April and will end in New York this October. Organization officials say they believe giving everyone a voice in the electoral process is crucial, particularly this election cycle. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks sign a free agent. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. In the NBA, the Bucks lost to the Clippers 112-97 in summer league action in Las Vegas. Now, guard Patrick Beverley has left the team. He was suspended four games for whipping basketball at some fans' heads in frustration after their season-ending loss. Well, after getting no offers from other teams, Beverley has now joined the Israeli Basketball League. So the Bucks have signed shooting guard Gary Trent Jr. The 25-year-old has spent the last 3 years with the Raptors. Baseball, for the 10th time in 11 years, the American League has won the All-Star game again, this time 5-3 over the National League. The Red Sox Jaron Duran named the game MVP thanks to his two-run homer in the fifth to put the game away. The Brewers, William Contreras and Christian Yelich, unable to get a hit, but Yelly says he enjoyed the week in Arlington anyway, like seeing Bryce Harper.
It's really cool baseball, so we're all a little similar. We can relate to a lot of the same things, and myself and Bryce, see all these guys so many years later still kind of doing the same thing. It's always pretty cool.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
We're entering a dry and sunny stretch. However, high temperatures today staying well below average with some breezy winds out of the northwest, keeping our highs down to the low 70s. It'll be a crisp and comfortable day today with highs tomorrow climbing to the upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 67 degrees.
This is a special announcement from Civic Media. Civic Media believes that violence has no place in the political process and stands in stark opposition to the principles of democracy. It stifles constructive dialogue, compromises the integrity of democratic institutions, and threatens the safety of individuals and communities. Democracy thrives on peaceful discourse, mutual respect, and adherence to the rule of law. It's crucial to engage with differing viewpoints respectfully and to avoid the temptation to vilify political opposition. Such vilification only deepens divisions and hampers the collaborative spirit necessary for effective governance. We, both individuals and media organizations, must reaffirm our commitment to the principles of democracy by fostering an environment where ideas can be exchanged peacefully and constructively. By doing so, we allow for a just, inclusive, and democratic society.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, I'll be joined by the former Democratic Party of Wisconsin chair, Mike Tate, as well as former U.S. Representative from Wisconsin, Scott Klug. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Live on location, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. It is Wednesday, the 17th of July, 2024, and a great day to be Wisconsinite. We are live on location from Wisconsin Media Row at the 2024 Republican National Convention here in Panther Arena in downtown Milwaukee, the home of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee Panther men's and women's basketball team, as well as the Admirals hockey team. It is a wonderful day to be in Wisconsinite. Mr. Zommers, back in Madison at the World Headquarters, it is
Hump Day!
That's right. We brought our camel to the National Convention. Amazing how it got through security, Mr. Zommers. They would not allow Trigby to bring a Red Bull through, but a camel, absolutely fine.
Yeah, there's a really different animal discrimination there.
Not the camel cigarettes, of course. The camel cigarettes had to stay behind. Real camel, kind of like tennis balls in the security area. Now, guns, okay. Tennis balls, no.
Not so much. That is the voice, of course, of our friend and colleague from up north on beautiful Lake Wissota, the host of Up North News Radio every morning from 6 until 8, Mr. Pat Kreitlow. And joining us once again here at the desk from Wisconsin Media Row, the senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, Mr. Trigby Olson. Gentlemen, welcome to day 3. Patrick, I was on your show this morning a little bit. Are you happier on Lake Wissota and not down here in the fracas?
Yes, I couldn't be happier. And again, I've been to a national convention. It can be a very exciting time. This just didn't feel like the year for it, as a lot of restaurateurs and others are discovering down there in Milwaukee, unfortunately. But, it, you know, so far, so good for the delegates, for the party. Milwaukee's going to get something out of it, but... It just doesn't have the luster that it did of days gone by when you had the smoke-filled rooms. You could bring your camels into the smoke-filled rooms and figure right. out who your nominee is going to be. And now, instead of a backroom fight, you know, you have the vanquished forced to trudge upon the stage under the nose of their nominee, bow down, and pledge their fealty, as we saw Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis do last night.
Yeah, and it was quite the spectacle. I didn't see it all. Trigby and I thought we would make better use of our time and go have a dinner.
That was the right call, yes.
Yeah, we had a little dinner, but I did catch some of it last night. And, Pat, I think you make an excellent point. And a little bit later on in this show, set the VCRs and wake up the kids, as Letterman used to say, Glenn Grothman, United States Congressman Glenn Grothman, stopped by our desk. We sat down for about a 10-minute interview with him. I asked him questions like, Glenn, do you really want to take America back to 1960? Look, I think it'll be an interesting interview. I hope for people to let them hear it in their own words. But it's interesting. And one of the other questions I asked him was, look, I get the old Republican DNA, because I was a part of it, just like Trigvy was. I worked in it for almost 30 years, volunteering and working. What I don't understand is the connection to the old Republican DNA to the new MAGA Trump DNA. And so we'll have that response a little bit later. But, Pat, I think you make a great point that it's I don't understand when somebody like Nikki Haley can stand up a few months ago and say Trump is not qualified to be president, and then last night she was politically genuflecting.
Yeah, I mean, selling your soul, selling out, however you want to put it, because you still feel like your party at some point still espouses the things that you thought made your party great, when really a lot of those are gone. It's now, we talk a good game about, say, being the party of business, but it's the Democratic Party that really is more in line with what small business entrepreneurs are seeking here. The Republicans are now big business, and now you've got J.D. Vance on the ticket, who is the person put there by, you know, the billionaire donor class to Donald Trump. And then you have all of the, you know, the ugly side of it, the national abortion ban, the anti-LGBTQ. Goodness knows they'd roll back some civil rights if they could. This is not the same party. And for Nikki Haley, Ron DeSantis, and others to somehow continue to live this fantasy is just kind of sad to see.
Trigvy Olson, you've worked on a lot of national campaigns, the late, great John McCain amongst them. You've been in these Republican conventions before when people had to kind of come together. What strikes you as different this time with people like Nikki Haley versus Donald Trump, and just, is it selling out their soul?
I mean, I think it's the final capitulation of the Republican Party to Trumpism in a lot of ways. And I say that because up until January 6th of, you know, the events at the Capitol, they could explain things away and still at least sound a little bit rational.
Right.
I think after the election denial and after what happened on January 6th and what they were saying as truths immediately after January 6th, to what they're saying today and the acceptance of that and the apparently willingness to just look past that, says that this is the true capitulation of the party. I also think the Reagan-esque party and the John McCain party and the George W. Bush party is gone when you have somebody like J.D. Vance, who's on the ticket, no longer is Russia an evil empire. They're, in Donald Trump's words, a genius for invading Ukraine. And, you know, J.D. Vance is 100% part of the isolationist, naive wing that is antithetical to Reagan conservatism.
People might be listening that might be conservatives, might be supporting Trump, might say, well, come on, Todd and Trigvy. It was the same way when you guys were in the party. But explain, in the past, Trigvy, that this isn't about one. Yeah, this isn't George H.W. Bush calling Ronald Reagan's Reaganomics voodoo economics, and then they figure out, oh, I guess my economic policy, yours, is similar. This is a complete, how shall I say it?
Just transformation.
Thank you. That's a word. I mean, this isn't policy. This is about whether you respect the Constitution or not. Am I right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's where January 6th comes into it, right? Like he did, you know. I think the fact, you know, this is the interesting thing. I see these people that I've known for a long time, friends, whatever, who, you know, work for people like Mitch McConnell, right? And I see them on TV or wherever, and they're basically making excuses for Trump when Donald Trump sent a mob to the Capitol to kill Mitch McConnell. You know, you have J.D. Vance. You know, you would think that J.D. Vance would call the guy who had the job before and say, hey, you know, what do you think of me taking this job? Well, he tried to kill me, but other than that, you know, don't let that hang you up. So bottom line is, like, it's the total capitulation.
Yeah. Pat Kreitlow,
I'll come at this from a bit more of a harsh perspective. When you are willing to use the extreme of your party and you give them enough leeway, they will eventually take over. And what I mean by that is, maybe you wanted tax rates a little lower. Maybe you wanted government to do a little less. So you enabled some people who want taxes to go away and who want government to go away. Well, don't be surprised that if you give them enough leeway, enough leash, enough room, you now have a party controlled by people who would like much of government to go away, who would like taxes to go away, who would like our international relations to go away. It's a party that did not have the discipline to purge itself of its extremists as long as they were useful to them. And by the way, this could have happened just as easily with the Democratic Party. It just didn't in this particular instance. It's something that all of American history from this point forward, God willing, we have an American history from this point going forward, can look back on and say, don't let this happen again.
I would take small issue with one thing that you said, Pat. I think it isn't that they don't want government. I think what transformed in this is that, quite frankly, they want to control all mechanisms of government. You see this in Project 2025. We're going to get rid of all of the, the career civil service, and we're going to replace them with lackeys. We see this with what they're wanting to track women's periods. Mm-hmm.
I'm not making either of those things up.
They are in Project 2025, and J.D. Vance and Donald Trump's staff were central to that. Bottom line is they want to control government because they want government in people's bedrooms. They want government everywhere, and they want to have apparatchiks to enforce that.
Yeah, and so because it really is the parable of the scorpion and the frog is what it comes down
100%, 100%.
to.
100%. 100%. That's right. We're going to talk maybe a little bit about, coming up in the second hour, we're going to have Brian Van Hooker of Crack.com here with some great presidential practical jokers. The history of presidents in the past being practical jokers. This is no joke. This is actually a tweet that Trigvy showed me, which I think is just the chef's kiss to this convention, to what you guys are saying, that these mega Republicans want government to track women's periods, and they want to have a lot of divisive anti-LGBTQ language here. But this, according to the Halfway Post, an executive at the gay dating app Grindr says the Republican National Convention is, quote, basically Grindr's Super Bowl, unquote.
Do you see the video of somebody scrolling through all of the whatever they're called, whatever the Grindr version of tweets would be, and there's so many pings or whatever that you get from this, something like that.
Yes.
It's kind of a mating call, going, "Hello, I'm here at the Republican convention, advocating for everything except the thing I hope you don't find out about."
And we actually discussed doing a piece about that because I have the app on my phone, and I thought, wouldn't it be hilarious just to open it up here and see how many guys are hanging out around here and how many of them might have wives at home or espousing anti-LGBTQ rhetoric, but yet they want to come here and have a fling.
Eat moms for liberty.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, exactly what it is. So I think that's, to me, it's just, and I think, true or not, Pat, in your experience and Trigvy and yours, it feels like being here, there are people that just think this is a quote-unquote normal convention. Oh, we'll just say things, but yet we're going to go out and have dinner and everything's fine. There's a 34-time convicted felon now at the top of the Republican ticket. As Trigvy said, that the vice president, we played the cut yesterday, is on the record as saying that he would not have certified the 2020 election. There's nothing normal, Pat Kreitlow, about this convention.
There's nothing normal about a campaign where, according to the AP poll that came out this morning, 7 out of 10 say they don't want Joe Biden to run again, and 6 out of 10 don't want Donald Trump to run again. We have two unpopular tickets. These are going to be unpopular conventions. But as I said this morning, there's still only about 1 million years between now and November, and we have no clue what's coming up next.
Pat Kreitlow, we always appreciate you taking time. You can hear him every morning, 6 to 8 on the Civic Media Radio Network with Up North News Radio. Patrick, thank you very much. Stay safe up there.
See you later.
Thank you very much. Coming up next, more from our friend Trigvy Olson, the Glenn Grothman interview straight ahead. Don't go anywhere. We're live at Wisconsin Media Row on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Every business faces challenges, but complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping shouldn't be one of them.
With USPS Ground Advantage from the United States Postal Service, you can avoid all the noise.
No more unexpected surcharges, hidden fees, or complex rate structures.
It's just easy, cost-effective, and dependable shipping. Tune your business's frequency to success and turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. Your news just for the Amory area. I'm James Kelly with WLAK News.
The backseat. Check the backseat.
Gets in your head, right? Good, because every year dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat. Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. So get it in your head. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Welcome back to the Tom Allball Show, live on location on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are at Wisconsin Media Row at the 2024 Republican National Convention in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. Trygve Olson, Senior Advisor to the Lincoln Project, joins me here at the desk. Trygve, a beautiful morning as I parked over by Marquette University's campus and walked in. And you see this and you think to yourself, how can people call it a terrible city? Like any city this size, it certainly has its challenges. But you look around, I mean, I felt nothing but safe. I felt nothing but love for the people of Milwaukee so far.
Milwaukee's, I think they're, you know, they're demonstrating themselves well with what they put together here.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know. I think of Milwaukee in the late 80s, early 90s wasn't such a great place, but yeah, it's improved a lot.
It really has. We touched on this a little bit with Pat, but we're going to talk about it more, just these people kind of lining up one after another last night to kind of politically genuflect and bow down to Donald Trump. But first of all, let's go to the phone line, see what you think. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. 4842. You can also text us on the Civic Media app if you don't have it. Download it to your Apple or Android device. Let's go to Mark from Prayer to Sack on the line. Mark, thanks for calling in. What say you?
Well, what you touched on just a moment ago, it kind of pulled me a little different direction. Sounds like Milwaukee is the Brokeback Mountain for the Republican convention this year.
If only Jake Gyllenhaal were here.
And I'm completely unsurprised because that about that. But for these Republicans too, in my opinion, you know, they genuflected Donald Trump, but they've completely rejected the whole principle of what government is supposed to be. Government is supposed to provide a structure for the people. It's supposed to provide services for the people. It's supposed to protect the people from the oligarchs that apparently the Republicans have now, you know, completely surrendered themselves to. And for a Supreme Court to basically come out and say that bribery is okay, I mean, that bribery has been considered bad by governments going back to antiquity. I mean, in the Persian Empire, corrupt judges were executed. I mean, you take the money after the fact. Well, once you deliver the goods, you can take the money. I mean, yeah. It is just, and not before, it just, the fact that Brett Kavanaugh hasn't been run out on a rail on that, and the ones that support that, you know, that supporting that bribery is something acceptable, but don't we just convict a senator of Menendez as taking bribes? I mean,
right. Chuck Schumer last night called on him to resign, as did most, I think, of the other Democratic senators. I certainly would add my voice to that. The guy has no business in the United States Senate.
And who paid off Brett Kavanaugh's loans? I mean, that he apparently just right. evaporated after he became a judge. People should be entitled to how do we know they haven't appeared before him? Or that he is, you know, down the food chain has recommended to other judges, hey, I'll let this guy off of this because, you know, he contributed to me, and that we do not know. Yeah. I mean, it is just sad that a party that was once, you know, under
Eisenhower. I'm sorry. Was, Yep. Thank you very much, Mark. I always appreciate the call, Mark from the SAC. Trigvi, what about this? President Biden is suggesting now, apparently from reporting that we've seen, that put term limits onto the U.S. Supreme Court. That would take congressional approval. I'm no constitutional scholar, but reporting that I've seen said that Congress, along with the president, could put term limits on the U.S. Supreme Court. Is that something that you think is a wise choice? I mean, to Mark's point, this is a Supreme Court now that's all but said that, you know, if it's an official action, the president is immune from prosecution.
Do I think it's a good idea? I mean, I do think that having some kind of ethics requirements and addressing some of the failings of the court as it relates to ethics is certainly makes sense. Do I think that is going to turn Joe Biden's fortunes around? No. I think, again, you know, I've said this before, Todd, Democrats need to start building narratives. Joe Biden's campaign needs to start building narratives. They have plenty of things around which to be building narratives. They should be talking about January 6th and Project 2025 and Donald Trump and J.D. Vance every single day, nonstop, from this point forward. They're spending all, you know, that something that appeals to his base. Again, Joe Biden is ending up spending his time, and it's ultimately Democrats' choice what they're going to do. But they need to make a choice, and they need to go with it. Well, and they need to start building narratives. Stop with all of this throwing policy at people.
And your comments couldn't be more timely. Timely indeed, to paraphrase Mike Lucas from the old Badger Radio Network. Coming across CBS News at this hour, breaking news. Democratic Congressman Adam Schiff of California has now called on President Biden to drop his reelection
effort.
He's their
nominee in California.
Exactly. Today, this is just coming out moments ago, becoming the highest profile Democrat yet to urge the president to step aside. Schiff, who is running for Senate in California, said in a statement that while, quote, the choice to withdraw from the campaign is President Biden's alone, unquote, he believes it's time for the president to, quote, pass the torch, unquote. Schiff said doing so would, quote, secure his legacy of leadership by allowing us to defeat Donald Trump in the upcoming election, unquote. We talked about this a little bit yesterday.
And where's Schiff from?
California.
And who's he close to?
Nancy Pelosi. I mean, that's the point, right? Or at least one of the points here. And we talked about this a little bit with Pat Kreitlow this morning in Up North News. This convention, and again, we denounce all forms of political violence, all violence, period. But the events of last Saturday, the attempt on former President Trump's life, has even further solidified the resolve of at least the Republicans, MAGA Republicans, that are here in Milwaukee. The question is, are Democrats going to have the same resolve in Chicago? Are they going to be able to get their act together, so to speak, and be unified and be able to motivate their base and the turnout like Republicans are?
Well, it doesn't appear that that's the case at the moment. But I think part of what you're seeing here is at this convention, like, you have a bunch of people singing from the same hymnal about a narrative, and they have a narrative on Joe Biden and Democrats, and they have a narrative about their guy. And you see the other side still talking about individual constituencies and pieces of, you know, they need to build narratives. Yeah. They've got to start building narratives.
And as you say, there's so much choice
that they're going to make, they need to make it, and they need to start building narratives. I mean, for me, you know, this is all about stopping Donald Trump and defending democracy, putting democracy ahead of partisan self-interest. But, like, Democrats need to start doing that.
L.A. Tom, listening in on WAUK, says that is what Project 2025 brings if Trump wins. He's agreeing with you, I assume, but he's just keep building.
We're pounding that every single day. If you haven't seen that, the long-form piece that we did about what it means.
Yes, it was great. We played it.
It is about government and apparatchiks, and it is an all-encompassing plan to impose power all across every element of American society.
Yep.
And this will be, I read, somebody tweeted this, who I follow, and this is true, you know, I've worked around the world where democracies have failed. American democracy failing would be the dumbest decision by a group of voters to vote themselves out from being a democracy to something else.
Agree. That's Trigvi Olson, senior advisor of the Lincoln Project. When we come back, our full interview with United States Congressman Glenn Grothman, Republican of Wisconsin.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Rain, humidity, and heat can be a recipe for problems. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Wednesday. Today, we're talking about your cattle's hooves. Carl Berge joins us. He's a global leader in hoof health. He's a hoof health consultant and trimmer with SureStep Consulting and the Save Cows Network. He explains why heat and moisture can be problematic for cattle.
You know, when you got humidity and moisture, you have more bacterial growth. So then sometimes the infectious diseases are more common, which would be like hairy heel warts or digital dermatitis and foot rot. Foot rot can be, especially for people that pasture cattle or cattle go outside, or for the beef cattle out there, it can be a high risk for foot rot when we have rain every couple, 3 days, because that's where those bacteria thrive. The bacteria, they love moisture and they love heat.
Hoof health consultant Carl Berge says the solution is fairly simple. Keep your cattle comfortable, keep them dry, and keep them cool. Stick around. We'll take a look at our midday commodity prices next.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Rural Mutual Insurance is a proud sponsor of the Wisconsin State Fair. As a thank you for your support, they're giving away State Fair tickets. Visit ruralmutual.com/win and enter to win State Fair tickets.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Wisconsin Farm Bureau is the trusted voice leading agriculture forward. Through the efforts of farmers, supported by organizations like Farm Bureau, agriculture continues to sustainably advance, meeting the needs of today while addressing the challenges that come with feeding a growing population. By providing resources, training, and advocacy, Farm Bureau empowers farmers to embrace sustainable solutions for a stronger tomorrow.
A voice for farmers, a vision for agriculture, Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
Wednesday from Chicago, corn markets are ticking up a little bit higher. Cash corn up a penny and a quarter at $3.97 a bushel. December new crop corn up 2 cents at $4.10¾. Soybean markets are mixed. Cash beans are up 6¾ cents at $10.97¼. November new crop beans are down a quarter of a penny at $10.43 a bushel. September wheat is seeing a rally up 14 cents at $5.44¾. Moving on to fluid milk, the Class 3 milk prices are mixed. The August contract is down a cent at $19.73 a hundredweight. September milk up 3 cents at $20.33 a hundredweight. If we look ahead to October, the Class 3 milk contract is trading up a penny at $20.42 a hundredweight. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
We're entering a dry and sunny stretch. However, high temperatures today staying well below average with some breezy winds out of the northwest, keeping our highs down to the low 70s. It'll be a crisp and comfortable day today with highs tomorrow climbing to the upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 67 degrees.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's 2024 and Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Water World, is ready for another season. Our schools have expanded and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bond.
Coming up on the show, day four, we're live at the RNC in downtown Milwaukee. A little sports talk with Paul Noonan, Brittany Merlot for Weather and Wine at 11:50. I hope you'll join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are here on Wisconsin Media Row, the 2024 Republican National Convention inside Panther Arena, home of the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee. Fighting Panthers. I'm not sure if they call them Fighting Panthers, but Panthers nonetheless. The men's and women's basketball team. Glad to be along with you. Trigvi Olsen, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, is still here at the desk. And coming up in hour two, we're going to take a little lighter look at things. Brian Van Hooker of Cracked.com will be along to talk about presidential practical jokers. Kind of interesting there. But first, we are going to give you our interview about an hour ago here or so. United States Congressman Glenn Grothman came through Wisconsin Media Row, and that's one of the advantages, quite frankly, of being here, is that the state party, the national party, is trying to bring as many people through here as they possibly can. Trigvi, we've heard that President Trump, they're going to lock down part of Panther here because apparently former President Trump is going to be speaking at the theater next door here. I don't think he'll be coming through here, but former Congressman Grothman did. And in full disclosure, I've known Glenn for a few years. Again, I was a staffer for former Senate Majority Leader Dale Schultz, and then State Senator Grothman was a part of that, or was in the caucus at the time. So I've known him for a while. And I'm going to play this entire interview, and I realize not everybody is going to agree with there are things in this interview I don't agree with, right? But I also think that since we're here, it's good to hear somebody on the Republican side talking without being interrupted too much so that we can give the full context so we know what is in their mind as much as we can, and then we can discuss that. But I want to play this interview now. This is about an hour ago from a former state senator and now United States Senator Glenn Grothman. Wisconsin Congressman Glenn Grothman. Congressman, thanks for taking the time to stop by. We appreciate it. In full disclosure, we've known each other a while. I used to work for a former state senate majority leader Dale Schultz when you were in the state senate. How do you like Congress so far now after a couple terms?
It's hard to get a lot done like we did in the state senate. I mean, in the state senate, you're one of 33. In Congress, you're one of 435. There are other things that I wasn't anticipating. I think in the state senate or state assembly, you get a lot more information before you vote than we get in Congress. I mean, the amount of information we get before we vote on bills that have hundreds of billions of dollars in spending is shocking. And the rules also make it difficult to get significant legislation passed. So it's much harder to have an imprint in.
Yeah, I get that. I think when former Governor Tommy Thompson, when he was Health and Human Services Secretary Dale, I went out there and saw him, and he said, you know, as governor, I used to get up in the morning, have an idea at 6, and it was done by 3 in the afternoon. Now I get up at 6 in the morning, I have an idea, and I got to wait for a 20-year-old staffer to get back to me by 10. So, you know.
That's exactly right. By the way, for your listeners who have just tuned in, this is a whimsical interview. U.S. Congressman.
Well, physical, yes. And I want to do a couple of things. A, because I was in the building, as we call the state capitol, when you were state senator, during Act 10. And many of the Republicans, most of the Republicans, huddled up in then Senate Majority Leader Mike Eller, President Mike Ellis's office. To your credit, you went down, put your coat on, and you just walked amongst people. No staff, no security. And you said, I just want to see what people are thinking. And that's one of the things I have admired about you, is you've never shied away from the press. You've never shied away from talking to people. You don't hide. And so I want to compliment you on that. I think that's great. I guess I'd be not doing my job if I didn't ask you about your recent comments on the floor of the House of Representatives, where you said you wanted to go back to the 1960s. Now,
Congressman, you used to come in our office and grab a hand of candy and sit there and read the paper. And I've had dinner with you before. Just as a dude, you're not a bad person. But I do disagree with your take on we should go back to the 60s. What do you say?
Well, I think some of that was chopped to make me look bad. I think when I talked about the 60s, I talked about a time in which you had, let's say, stronger families. And with those stronger families, I think came happier people. I think it'd be nice in that regard to get back to the 60s. And since I gave that interview when I was kind of, since I gave that speech and I was attacked for it, I frequently ask people at random who I see are old enough to remember the 60s. You may be the first person I've run into that doesn't think the world was better in the 60s. And usually people feel things have gotten dramatically worse, not since the 60s, but since the 80s, since the 90s.
And then, again, I always appreciate the discussion, but I do think that things are better in the 60s for this reason. I happen to be gay. Back in the 60s, I wouldn't be able to be out and feel comfortable. Women certainly didn't have access to the same health care that they do now. I think that for women that want to choose to stay home and raise their kids, I think that's great. But I also don't think that that's where, quote unquote, women belong. Would you agree with that or disagree with that?
Well, I think women can go wherever they want. As far as the abortion situation, I believe we got to a point in which there were over a million abortions a year. I don't think that's something we should be proud of as a country or say that was a great thing. I mean, nowadays we have ultrasounds. You look at the little child and you say, you know, I don't know how many they had in the 60s, relatively few, and now we got over a million. I don't think that's something that we should be proud of or say is an advancement. As far as women staying at home, people can do whatever they want to do. I think it is more difficult financially to have children today than it was in the 60s, which is another reason that I think we got to look why it is so much easier, or was so much easier for people to live that sort of lifestyle in the 60s than it is today.
Final question. I spent 30 years in the Republican Party before I left in 2011 because I happened to disagree with, the big discussion on people in the caucus called it voter ID bills. I called it voter suppression, and I witnessed that. That's why I left. That was me.
Yeah.
And now, but I was part of it. I helped elect a lot of Republicans and some very good ones, as a matter of fact. Can you help us understand? I mean this in all sincerity. I get the foundational DNA of the Republican Party because I was part of it. What I have a hard time wrapping my head around is the foundational DNA of the party of Mike Ellis and Tommy Thompson being connected to the DNA of MAGA Republicans and Donald Trump. Why do you think that the old foundational Republicans are now going along with a person that is the antithesis of what I came up with in the 80s, 90s, and 2000s?
Todd, Donald Trump is not a super conservative Republican. I think he is.
Well, he was a Democrat at one point and a pro-choice.
Absolutely. If you look at the amount of money he spends, if you look at sometimes his initial quotes on given issues like, say, gun control, I think you will see somebody, if you say a MAGA Republican, I sometimes think that's used as a pejorative as being an extremely conservative person. President Trump spent generously, let's say, when he was president. He took pride in passing penal reform that let a lot of people out of prison. As a matter of fact, they had people in my office, black people, who said, man, we can't believe what Donald Trump is doing. This is the stuff we thought Obama would do, but Trump's getting it done. He at least claimed to try to raise the tax, or he was going to try to raise the tax on hedge fund managers. I'm disappointed he didn't do it, but at least he claimed he was going to do that. So I don't know. And I'll say this. If you look at the Republicans who were first behind Donald Trump, just for the hell of it, because I thought something special was going on, I showed up at some organizational meetings back in 2015 with regard to the Trump campaign. Eventually, they didn't want me there because I wasn't voting for Trump. But I thought it'd be cool to, you know, be a part of history. And the Republicans in that room were largely liberal, moderate Republicans. You know, Congressman Collins from the Buffalo area, Joyce Elmers from North Carolina. I wish I had written them all down, but when Trump first got involved in presidential politics, he was attracting the more moderate wing of the Republican Party. So when people say he's different than the Dale Schultz, Mike Ellis Republicans, I respond that he started exactly as a Mike Ellis, Dale Schultz Republican. Now, I think he may have been changed a little because the Democrats have treated him so totally unfairly and impeached him twice and did all they could. And I think his pugnacious character is such that if the Democrats are going to go after him so unfairly, well, then I'm going to hit back.
I wouldn't say treated unfairly, Glenn. I mean, with all due respect, I mean, you're a law and order guy. You're a back the blue guy. I mean, you got people, whether you say it was an insurrection or whatever you want to call it on January 6th, there were people who attacked law enforcement who were found guilty by their peers, and some places pled guilty. You're an attorney. You have a law degree. Those people are served in jail. Do you agree that they're American heroes and ought to be pardoned?
I don't think they're American heroes, but I think it's... I think what happened that day, the significance of it can be exaggerated, and I don't think Donald Trump encouraged it. We know that Donald Trump actually
should they be pardoned, though?
Depends on the individual, on a case-by-case basis. I mean, you are more of an expert on it than me, because I don't think it was a defining moment at all. But when you see the videos and you see people being led in the building by law enforcement, right, that was going on. Nobody got inside the building, but I knew people who were in Washington that day. If you see law enforcement waving people by, come into the Capitol, and now we have you on video taking pictures, you know, in statutory hall, and they leave and they don't touch anybody and just obey what the police told them to, well.
But the people who are on camera who are attacking...
Absolutely, but nobody's talking about pardoning them as far as I know.
Trump has said he wants to pardon all of them.
I would be surprised if that happens. And like I said, I think some of the punishments for the people who didn't do anything physically, you know, I thought, like I said, if law enforcement is waving you in the building, you're not hurting anybody, you just take some pictures in the Capitol, and you're tracked down because they find you on video, I think that's a little bit.
I want to give you a chance to your own words, uninterrupted. I think it's important. Glenn Grothman, not the congressman, but the Wisconsin citizen, the American citizen, what is your vision for America in 5 years?
Well, I think we want to get back to a place in which it is easier to live the American dream. And right now, a young couple find it very difficult to buy a house. I'd like to get back to that. I'd like to get back to where you have the value such that children enjoy what I enjoyed, and that is having a stable family with a mother and father and I guess I'll put it that way, a stable family, a stable background that's so important, I think, for young people growing up. I don't think
U.S. Congressman Glenn Grothman, we may disagree on how we get to that, but I think we share that vision that we want opportunities for everyone and peace and prosperity. I mean, for everyone, that would be my vision. Like I say, we don't always agree, but what I really do appreciate is you're willing to have the conversation. I really appreciate it, and have a safe and good convention.
Very good. Glad I ran into you. Super bonus.
There he is, United States Congressman Glenn Grothman of Wisconsin. And Trigvi, I know there are listeners who are going to say, why would you put Glenn on there when he's so far off the mark in what you believe, Todd? But I think it's important. We're at the Republican National Convention, and I think if we're going to have a discussion about what's going on, you first have to listen to people, even if you disagree with them, so you know what's in their head. What's that good?
There you go. 100%. I think it's really good that you did that interview. I think there should be more of those. You and I have said it before, you know, I torment occasionally Scott Walker on this channel, but if Scott Walker wants to come on and have a debate that you moderate between Scott Walker and I, we can definitely do that. I think with Glenn, though, there's a little bit, I kept hearing Eddie Money singing, I want to go back and do it all over, but I can't go back, I know. you know, what do we get Leave It to Beaver back on our three television stations? Is right. that what Glenn right. is Where,
where's June,
for? Like,
June Cleaver? Yeah.
I mean, really, like.
And one of the things, one of our callers, one of our listeners, Dana, listening on La Crosse up there in beautiful La Crosse near Granddad's Bluff, says, quote, "I'm tired of Republicans saying, quote, oh, he won't really do that, unquote." And there you heard Congressman Grossman when I pushed him.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
The Republican National Convention is being held in Milwaukee, and it marks the first time the RNC is in the Badger State. But Wisconsin holds a special spot in the election cycle, with the RNC the second consecutive political convention in Milwaukee. The city was picked for the Democratic National Convention in 2020, but due to COVID, most of it ended up being virtual. Do you know which city has hosted the most political conventions? Philadelphia, Chicago, or Boston? The answer coming up. Political conventions started in the 19th century. It remained the main way to select candidates until 1972, when presidential primaries determined the eventual nominee. Conventions are now considered more of a celebration of the candidate. So do you know which city has held the most political conventions? Chicago. The Republicans have been there 14 times, and the Democratic convention will be hosted there for the 11th time this summer. 50,000 people expected at the RNC in Milwaukee, a nice slice of Wisconsin for the country to see. I'm Terry Ball.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Wisconsin Media Row here at the 2024 Republican National Convention. Tricky Olson by my side here from the Maria Lincoln Project. And apologize there, a couple of audio issues. I think that was on my end, Tricky. I think we played the interview with Glenn, and I did it through a channel I don't normally use, and I may have pushed the wrong button when we came back. So that was not Mr. Zahmer's fault. That was Todd just having fat fingers, as they say. But pick up where you are. I think where we kind of left off, Mr. Zomers, do you recall the last thing you heard us talking about before we had to go to break there?
I know you were talking about the song "I Want to Go Back" by Eddie Money.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I heard throughout Glenn's interview. Right. Like, right. I want to go back. I listen. You know, you can learn from the past. You can't go back to the past. Right. And you know, what does he want? Leave It to Beaver in three stations? I mean, Walter Cronkite giving the news? Because I'll tell you what, if you go back to three stations giving the news, Donald Trump and this convention is going to look a lot different than it did. I think the thing is, though, it's so naive of people like Glenn Grossman to say, well, I don't think he really means that. I mean, how long is that going to go on? Right. It's been going on since 2016. It's all about what about, and it's all about, well, he doesn't really mean that. He does mean it. At some point, you have to say he means what he says.
Right. No, I totally agree. L.A. Tom, listening to WAUK, saying that actions speak louder than words, and I would agree with that. And again, I think we missed it there during the break, but I just was saying that in that interview, when it came to January 6th, you know, he was saying that, you know, well, Trump doesn't really, or he's not going to pardon everybody. I said, he's literally said that, Glenn. He wants to pardon everyone, including those that attacked police officers. And then he said, well, I don't really think he means it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's a lot like there was a United States senator who was quoted when Donald Trump started with the election denial. Let's just humor him for a while, right? Like, I just think the when democracies fail, and I've seen this around the world, there are multiple opportunities to stop it. And for various reasons, people choose not to act. And Mitch McConnell chose not to act and impeach him. We wouldn't be in this situation if they had, because they didn't want to pay the short-term political consequences. I think the Democrats right now are kind of going through this. They need to make a choice and go with it. Or they could be ending up making the same mistake. I think if Donald Trump comes back, the road will be littered with opportunities to have stopped it, and people having chosen for naive reasons, not believing to not not have taken the steps.
Steady Eddie listening in says, I think you just promoted Representative Grothman to the U.S. Senate in your intro of the interview you just aired. God, may she help us if that ever happens, unquote. I believe I did call him because when I saw him most of the time in the state Senate, he was State Senator Glenn Grothman, so I apologize for the slip-up.
I'm pretty sure Glenn couldn't beat Tammy Baldwin.
I'm pretty sure Glenn could not beat Tammy Baldwin.
I mean,
there.
He might run better than Eric go jump in a lake. How'd be good?
Let's go quickly. 855-752-4842 to Tom in L.A. Got about a minute and a half. Tom, go ahead.
Hey, Todd, I really appreciate your show, and I appreciate Trigby as well. What I want to say is when we have interviews with these people that come on the air, can we start asking them about their voting record? I mean, those are the questions I want to know because they can all lie about what it is that they – you know, say and do. In fact, I think the Meghan Trainor song, when their lips are moving, their line is very, very good for Republicans in power. But the thing is, if we ask, okay, how did you vote on this? How did you vote on that? So therefore, it's actually actions speak louder than the words. Does that make sense?
No, it makes total sense, and I don't disagree with you, and I'll take the responsibility if it were. This was not a set-up interview where I had a lot of time to prepare. He had to be walking through, and so I had to make the choice. Do I just shake his hand and don't say anything, or do I take the opportunity to at least get something on the record with him? I thought the most recent comments on the House floor last week or earlier this week where he said that he thought we should go back to the 1960s, I thought it was worth it to at least take him when I could get him. And I also think there's value in the audience hearing from his own words. Like I say, I think part of it is we all, myself included, have to listen to people that we don't always agree with to at least get the context of what's in their brain. But I don't disagree with you, Tom. It would have been a better interview had I known it was going to be happening and have his record in front of him. I'll give you that. Does that make sense back to you? Does that make sense where I came from?
No, absolutely. And I think that the thing is that, you know, that's what all the media needs to do. The media needs to start holding people accountable for their vote. And whether right. it's the infrastructure vote or whatever it is, that should be the question. So we, the people, can decide who it is that we want actually in that position of power. I know for myself, there's a quiz out there called selectacandidatequiz.com that I go to. I'd love to have you do it, Todd, and see what you think of it. But it basically just has you vote on your actual policies and what you think. And then at the end, it'll tell you who it is that you should vote for. Of course, there's only two candidates that you can vote for, but it would show you. Yeah. And it's also called isidewith.com.
Say it again, because I'll check it out. What is it again?
Selectacandidatequiz.com.
Selectacandidatequiz.com. All right, I'll check it out. Maybe not today, but I'll check it out. Maybe we could do it on the show, do a whole bit and have people kind of take it together. That's cool. Always appreciate your listenership, Tom.
Absolutely, yep. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for calling. I really appreciate it. Trigby?
Yeah, I mean, I think the one thing, and I don't disagree with Tom, that it's important to time down on their records and how they voted. The one issue with that is, and you and I both know this from having been around politicians a lot, and Glenn certainly is a sophisticated enough politician that he's going to be pretty adept at ducking questions on specific votes.
Yeah.
That, you know, I think from a strategic standpoint, when I would be prepping people for major interviews, you know, I would always say, you give the answer that you want to give, and it's much harder if you have reporters who tie them down to actual things that they've said.
Right. You just keep repeating what you want to say over and over.
Right. And you know, the onus is on the person asking the questions to literally take the words and draw the contrast.
And I think the interview we played yesterday from George Stephanopoulos from ABC This Week with J.D. Vance, where he finally pinned him down and got J.D. Vance to say on the record, no, I would not have certified the 2020 election.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say George is pretty good at his job because he sat in both chairs. I mean, it's a little bit like, you know, when I was preparing people, you know, the gold standard was Chris Wallace. Like, you knew that if you were going to – I remember prepping somebody for a Senate debate where Chris Wallace was going to do it, and the person wasn't really taking it seriously. And so we had somebody game it out. We actually built a replica of the set.
Really?
We had somebody play Chris Wallace. And the first one, person just absolutely took the candidate apart. And the candidate got religion in a hurry that it wasn't going to be Softball City.
Always appreciate the calls and listenership. Hour two is straight ahead. Going to have Brian Van Hooker from Crack.com and maybe some TV personalities as well. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Balls Show from Wisconsin Media Row for a Wednesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Pete Schwabba.
Wednesday night, we will stream live on Facebook and YouTube from 7 to 8 p.m. during the RNC. We will be back in the air live from 8 to 9 p.m. where I welcome comedians Kristen Leidy and Katie Bowman in studio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9. Matt Nair on air.
Project 2025, it's going to drastically change democracy. We did have a text from Lynn. She says, well, Jane and Greg, you are scaring me. I'm not trying to scare you, Lynn. I'm trying to make sure everybody understands what this would do. And it's scary, especially when we're talking about firing more than 50,000 civil employees and replace them with people who will just do what Trump wants. So Jared Kushner apparently is qualified to do everything.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.